Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, or whatever time it is, wherever you are. Thank you for tuning in to Relationship Matters. I am one of your hosts. My name is Taiwan, and I have with me, as always, Lady Diana. Say a few words to the people. Hello, Lady Diana. Are you talking now?
God.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah, we can hear you.
You can hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello? Okay, hi. Hi, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
So, before we get started, I just thought that maybe we would go ahead and introduce ourselves, being that a lot of people don't know who we are. And I didn't want to have it where people were like, well, who do they think they are trying to create a, come with a radio show? And you know how people can be. So I wanted to go ahead and create something that was much, much needed. So let me give you a brief basis of what Relationships Matter is about, and then we'll go ahead and get our show started. So the basis of Relationships Matter is, in the state of where we are right now as a society and as just a human being, relationships are a thing of the past, kind of like vehicles that were built to last. So the reason why I wanted to do something like this is because our music today doesn't even talk about love anymore. Everything that we do now doesn't even talk about unity anymore. And so the foundation of a good, you see how you have a relation, Black Lives Matter. And then they came up with All Lives Matter. And then you've seen White Lives Matter. Okay. That's all well and good. Without a relationship foundation, none of that matters. Because you have to have a solid foundation. You have to have a solid relationship in order for any of that to work. So that is the basis of this show. We're talking about putting together relationships of all different kinds. We're not just talking about the love between a man and a woman. We're talking about the love between a brother and a sister, the love between a mother and a father, a mother and a son, daughter, your auntie, your uncle, your grandmother, business relationships, friendships. We're talking about relationships of all kinds because they're, every last one of them play a key part in the foundation. So now that I've said that, I want to go ahead and basically tell you who I am. So again, my name is Taiwan. I am a singer, songwriter, producer. I have been doing music for probably most of my life, actually. I started singing when I was 5. I signed my first deal with Fully Loaded. I was 15 years old in a group that I won't even name. Moving on from that, I continued to stay in the music business, writing for other artists. I signed another deal in 2000 with Universal slash MCA, and that was when they were getting ready to merge together. I signed a deal with my group Interlude, and we had a really, really great run as a group, and then that dissolved, and so now I continued on with continuing to write, continuing to do my own music, and so that's the basis of where I am right now. I mean, I wear a lot of hats, but that's the, you know, the justice of what's going on. So I wanted to go ahead and pass it over to Diana and let her tell you who she is and let you get to know her. So, Di, it's all on you.
All on me. Hi. Can you hear me? Is everything clear?
Oh, yeah,
hello?
You sound good.
Okay, great. All right, well, my name is Lady Di. Well, people call me Diana. You can call me Poetic Soul. I have a variety of names. I started writing poetry probably around 16, 17 years old. It was my way of expressing myself. I was pretty much a shy person, so with writing, it became more of my spoken word. When I have a tendency of kind of keeping things to myself, so I just kept on using my creativity to really express myself in many ways. But on the gist of it, I went to the College of Staten Island in Staten Island, New York. I majored in social work and liberal arts. So I did some drama while I was also studying social work, psychology, and sociology. So I pretty much dealt with the aspect of groups and families. And my first experience was working with young people during my internship at a lockdown prison facility. Yes, that was my last year. And despite the fact that there were nothing but young ladies in a lockdown facility, a lot of those young ladies, they very much inspired me because we all grew up in the same streets. There were girls that were not that much older than I was and grew up in the same neighborhoods, experienced the same pattern of life, the abuse and neglect. And, you know, and the fact is I could have been in those girls' shoes. But I had a different outlet. I had a different walk of life, very, very spiritual, always under the guidance of my grandmother, my family. I had a strong unit, so I didn't walk down in their path. But each and every girl had a voice, and I'll never forget them. They inspired me to be more open. They even challenged me, which was, at first, it was the most scariest thing in the world, but I have to thank those girls because they really brought a lot out of me. And one of them gave me the name Poetic Soul. so that was one of the reasons why I kept that name to this day. Also, I have a variety of jobs. I pretty much work with developmentally disabled population. I work for the Department of Health, so I pretty much am there to provide oversight, give jobs. On the other flip side, I do a lot of acting, and I do a lot of I was in a group many years ago with two of my cousins. I kind of phased out of the singing, but I stayed gifted to my acting, so I stayed that on the side. Me and my cousin were on stage at the Harlem Renaissance. It was one of those projects that we did in Harlem like some 13 years ago, and I was on stage, and I can't tell you the high I had at the time. Like I said, I had a day job and I had a night job, so I was definitely grinding for so many years. And then in that midst of grinding, I met Taiwan, and Taiwan is a very, very great guy, and I don't have too many people in my circle, but he's one of them, and I have to definitely thank. He's a man of his word, so I can't believe I'm actually here. Moving forward, I'm here. I'm not a stranger to doing interviews, but I'm getting back in the groove now, and it's the most exciting experience, yet scary all at the same time. I have so many hats I'm wearing these days, and I'm just blessed. I'm very
blessed.
Well,
that's what's up.
I'm just happy to be here, and I'm just. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Thank you so much, Taiwan.
Hey, you're more than welcome, man. It's a pleasure to have you. It's a pleasure to be sharing this experience and this journey with you, because you're such a well-grounded person. You know, when I met you, you were going through some things. You know, we won't go into that, but I've seen you grow from that person to the person that you are now, and I'm, you know, just proud to know you and proud to have you on this show, because you, as well as I, know the basis of how a relationship is formed, and how a relationship is groomed, and how a relationship is molded like clay into the perfect thing that God intended us for us to be. Now, God didn't intend for us to be perfect, but God did intend for us to, you know, do it His way, put it like that.
Right.
So without, you know, continuing on this tangent, let's go ahead and get into our show.
Absolutely, yes.
So today we have some very, very special guests. These two gentlemen have gone from being in our wonderful, and I say that with quotation marks, our wonderful prison system, to becoming one of the most sought after motivational speakers and celebrity life coaches that are out there right now. So without further ado, I want to welcome the Spiritual Mechanics, Mr. Charles Clark, and celebrity life coach Terrell Jenkins to the show.
Yes.
Yo, how you doing,
Welcome.
Man? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Blessed and highly favored.
Yes, sir.
Great. Now, before we go into the question part of it, I basically want you guys to introduce yourselves and tell everyone who you are and what your mission is about.
All right. I guess I can go first. First of all, give God the glory. And thank both of y'all for having us on the show. It's a wonderful, phenomenal show. I'm like every boy out there who grew up wanting to be the best that I could be. Apparently, God had a different mission and road for me to travel. My father died when I was six. So that was a big hit in my life. And as I was growing up, I was looking for a father figure. And at the time, I thought my father figure was the guys in the streets, pimps, killers, gangbangers, drug dealers. I mean, just total destruction. So I started gangbanging and becoming a street enforcer and drug dealing at a very young age. And to the point to where it was no longer about me losing my father, I became very adapted to that lifestyle. And from age of 13 all the way to 21, that was my complete life. I've
wow.
seen and witnessed some very horrific things that most people can never imagine. But thank God that he spared my life for what I'm doing now. And as everybody knows, for the ones that don't know, from the age of 21 going to 22 to 29, I was incarcerated in federal prison. And I felt my calling. My last 2 years of my in prison, I felt my calling. And once I got out of prison, God showed me a whole blueprint of what I was supposed to be doing. And that was facilitating his word, taking different levels of ministries in modern day time to bring souls back to the kingdom and showing people their purpose. I never believed in someone to follow me, but to follow the God in me so that they too can be not as good as I am, but being greater than I am.
That's what's up. Yeah, that's awesome.
Wow,
man.
That's wonderful.
Amen.
Yeah, definitely. And what about you, Terrell?
Hey, everyone. My name's Terrell Jenkins with the Spiritual Mechanics. And I'm the founder of my nonprofit organization, the Advantage Program, which we, you know, as a family call it Team Cap. And I'm also the author of two self-published books, From Pain to Purpose and Take Charge of Your Life, and the Certified Life Coach.
Hey, Terrell, give me just a second.
Yes.
Terrell, just give me just a moment. If one of you guys are actually on the website at the same time, can you mute your screen, because it's giving feedback. So what you're doing is you're coming through, but it's like, so yeah, do me a favor and just mute your screen for me. And I apologize for that. Terrell, go ahead and finish.
Okay. I'm the author of 2 self-published books, From Pain to Purpose and Take Charge of Your Life, and also a certified life coach and award-winning motivational speaker.
Okay. That's what's up. Now, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Diana. I know she has some questions that she wants to ask you guys, so here we go.
Hi, Terrell. Hi, Charles. Hope you guys can hear me.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. I have a question for, any one of you guys can answer it. Who are your influences? I mean, what made you the motivational speakers as you are today?
Okay, I can go first on that one.
Okay
back in 2007, 2008, I was working for a treatment facility, which I already conducted groups working with individuals with drug and alcohol issues and things of that nature. So I got introduced to Eric Thomas, which is Eric Thomas, the hip-hop preacher. I got introduced to Eric, and I started listening to Eric on a daily basis. And from there, I started getting the idea of, you know, I'm already speaking every day. I'm already going to schools. I'm already going in front of school administrations, probation officers, and things like that speaking. So why not, you know, make this a career? So that's my mentor, how I started, is from Eric Thomas.
Nice, Charles. Who are your influences?
Well, first of all, God's my number one influencer. There's no doubt about that. He put people in my life when I was in prison. There was a lot of brothers in prison who would never see the daylight for years to come. But they had a special anointing that was so powerful. And they poured into my vessel through God to where they wanted me to become the voice for the ones who cannot be physically free, but to be spiritually free. So once I prayed to God about my calling, about my position, when I got out of prison, you know, people like Bishop T.D. Jakes, you know, Pastor Dr. Jamal Bryant, the words of wisdom in their ministry were so empowering and so phenomenal. A piece of me saying, you know what, this is what I'm supposed to do. And God said, well, are you ready? And I was like, yeah, I'm ready, God, I'm ready. Strip me from everything and rebuild me according to your purpose. So, you know, gradually as I grew into my, you know, my calling, you know, there's so many other people, you know, since then, you know, Devon Franklin, my spiritual father, who is T.D. Dick's best friend, and spiritual son, Holloway Gray. There's so many people, But one I can say that stood out to me, even when I was doing the devil's work back in the day, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I love his courage. I love the way he built the platform for people like us, not just only for African Americans, but all races, to come together, facilitate the thing that is needed to be who our purpose is, and which is God. So, yeah.
Awesome. Either one of you guys can answer this question as well. Thank you so much for that, for your answer to the question. What did you have to give up in order to stay focused on your goals? What sacrifices did you make? Any one of you guys can answer.
I guess I can go first this time. I had to give up me as a whole. It wasn't about me. It was about God's purpose, God's work. That's the most rawest thing I can tell you. If you put yourself first, you will never last. God has to be first. That means anything that is not adapted to God's work, his purpose, the kingdom. It was me that I had to give up, because everything that I did in my life was about me. It was about fulfilling my destiny and my glory. But I realized that who am I? I'm nothing without God. So once I realized that, to give up myself, then I realized that God could fully pour into my vessel. So it's me. That's no wrong. I can respond to that. Me.
Yeah, and I can piggyback off that. You know, I had to realize other people what was important. There's also so many people out there hurting. So the sacrifice I gave up is me. I mean, see, you couldn't hit that no better. You know, because it's not about me. You know, I mean, I am used to go out and give a message to help others change lives. But that's the best sacrifice. See, that's the best thing right there. I mean, you really is no more than that, like you said, just me.
Nice. Taiwan, you have any questions?
Oh, definitely. All right, so now you guys have a new show, and you guys have formed a team called the Spiritual Mechanics. And I wanted to get into that a little bit and tell everybody what Spiritual Mechanics is about and how you guys actually came about with the name Spiritual Mechanics.
Okay. Well, this is very deep. You know, when you look at the world, the situation in the world, you look at the people around you from the past to now, you know, the biggest thing is that you can break something in your house, you can break something in your car, you can break a bone in your body and heal from it properly with the proper medications from the doctors. Even if, like I said, your car breaks down, you know, you can get it fixed, you know, from the mechanics. But nothing compares to a broken spirit. That's life. That's life itself. Without your spirit being aligned with God's purpose, you have nothing. That's a fact. So when me and Terrell first met on social media, and then we met each other in person at an event, we started collaborating. We started speaking through God. God spoke to us, just spiritual communication. I said, you know, Terrell, you know, what we are doing is so compatible to the world and what the world needs. Not no watered-down truth, but the real truth. People need to see and witness the testimonies. Don't get me wrong. It's great to hear about a testimony or somebody posting on social media. But to witness a testimony become triumph in front of the world visually, that right there is more profound than anything. Because God's work through man needs to be exposed beyond the pulpits of the churches or beyond, you know, any other held-in situation. It needs to be out. It needs to be spreaded. So I told Terrell, I said, you know, when you fix something, it requires a mechanical gift.
And he agreed.
Yep.
And, you know, we just said, you know what, if we're going to fix, you know, spirits, we know we're the spiritual mechanics. And our mission statement is preparing and rebuilding a broken spirits worldwide for God. And from there, it just took off. We ran with it. We ran with it because we knew that once God touched something, it was so. It was concrete.
Absolutely.
So.
Wow. That's
what's
that's
up. Now, I want to say this before we go any further. I know these gentlemen personally, and we've had some very, very uplifting moments to a point where that actually shows you how real God is and how God can move things in an instant. Where, and the reason, and what I'm getting at is, and I'll give a brief story on Charles and myself. One day while on social media, a young man was on talking about how he just was ready to give up and he was done. And he was trying to film himself committing suicide on social media. And so immediately I reached out to him. And, you know, we were talking back and forth, and he just was giving up. And so I reached out to Charles, and I said, Charles, we got to talk to this guy. We got to get him on the phone. We have to really, really talk to this guy. We got to talk him down. So Charles and myself called this young man on the phone, and he was very, very calm. But you can tell he was very anxious. So the more Charles talked to him, the more I could feel the whole everything shift. And the most impressive thing that about the whole situation was I could hear God through Charles. And I was like, wow, I literally just sat back and listened to the whole thing. And, you know, Charles had by the time we were done, the young man was repeating everything that Charles was saying to him. And, you know, a couple of weeks later down the line, you know, I stayed in contact with him and checked on him, and Charles checked on him as well. And he's doing good right now. He's doing good. He's moved. He's working. He's a model citizen at this point. So I just – that's a spiritual mechanic. You understand what I'm saying? Like he actually took somebody whose soul was obviously broken, and he gave him a tune-up.
Amen.
So then I want to, and
wow.
And that's one story.
Wonderful.
Now I want to go into a story with Charles and Terrell and another gentleman. And now all of us we're managed by Sisters in Motion Inc. and Miss Donna Rentz. And she spoke with a lady who was seriously troubled by everything that was going on in her area. And in her area, you know, there was a lot of crime going on. And, you know, people were, you know, young ladies were being, you know, kidnapped. And, you know, it was pretty much, they were pretty much being sold as, you know, human trafficking. And, this lady was actually scared to go in her home. She was scared to sleep in her home. She was scared to just be where she was at. And she spoke with Donna, and Donna reached out to us, and we all got on the line with the lady. And I sat back, and man, these gentlemen began to speak with this lady, and they prayed for her, and they prayed over her, and reassured her. And actually, they gave her spirit and her soul a tune-up, literally. I'm speaking from witnessing this myself. And so after that was done, I just heard today that lady is doing well right now. She's good with where she is, and she's happy about – and this was just last week. This was just last week that this happened. So this week she's in better spirit. She's in a better place, and you know she's very, very thankful. and happy at the fact that, you know, some gentlemen that did not know her at all took a moment out of their time to sit with her and pray with her and talk to her and restore her faith. So with that being said, I just want you guys to tell everybody what's to come. You know, what you guys have planned as far as your show.
And will you be coming to New York?
We don't have New York now at this moment, but I'm sure we'll make it to New York.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. We have to make it to New York.
Yes, you have to.
Yeah. It's all about going to where the problem is. I just believe that there's no way a person can speak about a situation not actually being a situation, or a problem is an undiscovered solution. And I tell people all the time, this is very important, if I'm in a water full of goldfish, how can I manifest to a person who's in a water full of sharks? Apparently, I have to be, have to experience that type of water or that type of fear to understand what I'm speaking. And that's why God put us through so many things. Sometimes it's not about us going through a tribulation or going through a challenge. It's about God putting us through a training progress so we can progress to become the leaders who that we are. And with the show that we have coming up, we're doing shows, documentaries, we are already going on tour, and just every day God is blessing us because we are doing everything for God and His will. And I want to make clarify something real quick. This is not a typical show. We're not speakers. We're not the typical, you know, you're going to do it and you're going to make it and everything's going to be okay. What I want people to understand who listen to this show right now is that we really have to get to the real problem. There's some things in your life you're going to have to let go. There's some things in your life you're going to have to let come in. There's going to be some spiritual implementation. There's going to be some spiritual, you know, revisement. There's going to be so many things that have to be done in order for you to gain full access to your purpose. And I'm not going to sit up here and tell you everything's going to be okay until I show you what's going to make everything okay, because I'd be lying to you. And when you're in this type of arena, you can't, you know, this is not Fortune 500. This is life. Life is real. I know for myself, the experiences that I've been through, I had so many people tell me, you know, you're going to be okay, you're going to make it, but they never showed me how. Why?
Right.
And you can't tell people every day how much wrong they're doing. You can't tell them every day the mistakes they are making. Apparently, they know this. Believe me, they know this. But what can you tell them of their worthiness, their value? I'm all about the value of a person's life because that is what is important. Once a person loses their joy, their interest, once a person loses their value mindset of their life, they are on the road to total destruction. Just like Brother Ty, we were talking about the guy who wanted to kill himself. The reason why is because he lost value. He didn't see no kind of attachment that his life was worthy to move on. So my whole approach was to remind him, well, you need to stop doing this, you need to stop doing that. What I had to do was remind him how great he was. I had to remind him the things in life, the reason why God approved him to be in the life that he's in now. Then I showed him why you have to let something go. See, we can't be judgmental because only the only one judging, that's God. That's just off the, right. off, that's pure, uh-huh. straightforward. And, you know, I give another quick example. I turn over to my partner, Terrell. You know, when I do my videos and stuff, you know, people see me in the suits. You know, they see me on my videos, you know, a lot of times I have my do-rag on, my hoodie, you know, relaxing, laying back. And I had a person ask me a question one time. This is Charles. Oh, my God. You know, your words are so profound, you know, everything, whatever. But, you know, maybe sometimes, and this is a long time ago, maybe sometimes you should wear like a suit or something casual when you do your videos. And then God spoke to me. Because a long time ago, I would have said something different. But then I realized something. This was an opening for me to explain one of my main purposes. If I'm in a clown suit and God says, speak to that person, I'm not going to go home and change clothes in no suit. I'm going to be the most spiritual, powerful clown, and I'm going to deliver God's message. when I do things, it's authentic. It's authentic. You know, if I'm at home, if I'm chilling, if I'm relaxing, talking to God, with my daughter, with family, or whatever I'm doing, taking care of business, if God tells me right now to post a video, I'm going to do it in whatever state that I'm in, because at the end of the day, I am naked to the world. I'm fully clothed in the kingdom.
Absolutely.
Have you ever had anyone that challenged your beliefs?
Hold on.
It's a little further. Say that one more time.
I think she said, have you ever had anyone to challenge your beliefs?
Yes.
Of course. But I'm first, I mean, Ty is a witness of that. I mean, people have the traditions of the world. When you first got out of prison, people automatically think this person went to prison and then became a Muslim or a Christian or whatever, just to say they changed, and then once they get back into the streets or whatever, they become who they used to be. But I felt out that the whole time I was selling drugs and gangbanging and being a street enforcer, I was actually in prison then. I was free when I got locked up because God gave me time to know who I really were, my spiritual DNA, my spiritual identity. So once coming out and getting to social media and going to a couple places speaking voluntarily, people did challenge me. You know, they look at you as being like, okay, if you're going to be this Christian preacher type person, you have to be perfect. No, I would never be perfect. Nobody would ever be perfect but God. But it's the perfection of God's work that dwells in us that makes us deliver such magnificent things from the kingdom. So when people challenge my belief, I don't challenge them back. What I tell people is this right here. Look at my credibility. And if you serve the same God that I serve, let him tell you what my belief is. Because if we're serving the same God, then our belief is very compatible. It's identical. And you're going to get that. You're going to get that. I tell anybody, anybody at any time, if you're not challenged or hated on, then you're not doing something right. I look for people there to hate on me. I look for people to challenge me. Because guess what? When people feel that you're a threat to them, and which is crazy because we're supposed to be working together, but they feel some kind of threat or they feel so overwhelmed because where they're trying to get to and you're already there, they have to challenge it because they're wondering, why? How come I'm not there yet? So they have an unorthodox way to express themselves. And that's why God says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. And sometimes I say to myself, thank you so much that some people are actually enemies. They're just discombobulated because they've been taught for so long that if you don't do this a certain way or this a certain way or speak a certain way, that you cannot fit into the world crowd. But once they realize the crowd of the world is not number one, matter of fact, it has no kind of power. It's the crowd of the kingdom. Then, therefore, it no longer becomes a challenge. It becomes truth.
That's powerful. I like
definitely.
That.
Definitely. Now, what about you, Terrell?
Okay, I got something to share. Basically, piggybacking on what C said. You know, I'm going to use a quote by Les Brown. You know, and individuals, you know, when I speak to them, I talk to them, even coaching, you know, I let them know you must forgive yourself for your faults before you can move on. A lot of people don't forgive themselves for the mistakes they make. And so, therefore, they're not able to move forward. Let me give you an example. I knew this young man. He didn't have any drive, any direction. This young man made mistakes after mistakes after mistakes, and he didn't care who he hurt. His priorities and responsibilities was out of order, and he hurt many people in the process. During his downward spiral, he learned how to forgive himself and learn how to take his mistakes and turn to a positive aspect. That young man was me. I didn't understand my priorities or my responsibilities. So if I didn't have no role model, if I didn't have no male model, or I didn't have no father there to teach me how to be a man, how am I going to learn priorities and responsibilities? I don't know what's important from 1 to 10. So therefore, that's why my family was not important to me. That's why my responsibilities was out in the street doing other things, getting locked up, having my wife continue to come to prison, not only come to prison, but also bring me money in prison while I'm in prison so I can buy cigarettes to sell. So I didn't care about her being either.
Whoa.
So with me learning what my priorities and my responsibilities were, that helped me change myself inside, my spirit, My spirit. And that's what we got to get to, the spirit. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We got to deal with that spirit that's inside. If we don't deal with that spirit that's inside, no matter what goes on, no matter who's talking to you, it's not going to work. Because you got to change yourself mentally, spiritually, and physically. And you got to be in congruent with all three of those things. If all three is not in congruent, that individual, me, myself, if I'm not spiritually, physically, and mentally fit, I already understand that something's wrong. And that's what we got to get to as spiritual mechanics, going to work with their spirit from the inside out.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
So I know that you guys are going to be traveling while you're filming your show. I do know that the spiritual mechanics are going to be filming an episode in Lake City, Florida on May 20th through the 21st during the Sisters in Motion, Inc. presents the Next Generation Inspirational Festival featuring Dr. Ernest Pugh, which I know is going to be awesome. I am also an artist that will be performing at that particular event. So we definitely all look forward to seeing everyone there. And I look forward to seeing the Spiritual Mechanics film their first episode. And they, like I said, they continue to impress me. So I had to have them as my first guest on the first show. These guys, I've seen them firsthand. So, like, to see them myself, I'm like, I can't wait for other people to see what these guys can do. Because a lot of people give up on people who are not necessarily like them, who didn't do it a certain way or what they would think is the right way. Because, see, there's no right or wrong way to serve God.
That's right.
That's right.
So
amen.
I absolutely believe that you guys are a testament to the fact that you guys can go from one extreme to a whole nother extreme in the name of God.
Amen.
So I absolutely, amen. And I just want to say personally, I appreciate you guys. Because without people without people like you guys, we're doomed. And I say this to everybody that I speak to, we're doomed.
I will say this right here. There have been times in my life, and Ty knew about this. Even Donna, who was our phenomenal manager. She's just wonderful. Love you, Donna. Love you, girl. Donna's been amazing. And Ty, to you, Ty, love you, brother. You've definitely been
love you too,
a
man.
Important factor in our journey. I mean, you know, we have did so many things together trying to fix the right things so we can get to the people. And,
right.
You know, from losing thousands of dollars, drama with different celebrities, just so much stuff. And the things that we experienced, and about this deal, said, you know what, I'm going back to my 9-to-5. I ain't got time for this. But see, it's in those times, every time something happens, something greater of God comes out of it. And, you know, it's about, like I tell it, this is one of my famous things I tell people, my quotes. A thief would never attempt to rob an empty vault. Name one thief that goes into a bank knowing it's empty and still try to rob it. No. It's something in your vault that is priceless, that is valuable. So the enemy is coming to rob, steal, and cheat. So if you have someone trying to take you out, that's a good thing. That's a great thing. That means that you possess something. Then how you protect it through your purpose is a whole different situation. But as a bank does, when a bank gets robbed, believe me, they have insurance of every penny in that vault. And as the God that we have, our purpose, our values have kingdom insurance. I was telling someone the other day, one of my quotes, I said,
amen,
that the greatest trust fund to have is the trust of God, because you will never go empty.
Mm.
That's what's up.
That is beautiful.
Now, I was just informed by the lovely Donna Rentz, you guys' manager and mine as well, that you guys will be in Charlotte on June 18th and in Douglasville, PA on June the 25th. So definitely looking forward to seeing you guys at those events as well. And anybody listening, if you're in those areas, definitely go check these guys out. When I tell you these guys are going to give you a spiritual tune-up, trust me, you're going to walk out of there learning something that you didn't know before. And that when I say that, it's going to be something that you're going to learn about yourself that you didn't know before.
And also, individuals will learn they're not alone. You know what I mean? Dealing with issues and things of that nature. You know, because when you speaking and you sharing and you can hit somebody, man, that's a powerful thing, man. That's like,
oh, hey, yeah.
Especially to tell you, I thought I was the only one that was going through that. I thought I was the only one that cheated on my wife. I thought I was the only one didn't care about my kids. And I see you can make a transformation. That gives me the confidence and the courage to say I can too. You know what I mean? And that's what
it's
about, just being straight raw, like Charles say, you know, just be straight raw, you know, and just get a people, you know, some valid information, you know, to help people change lives.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. I mean, we are regularly getting people from all over who's requesting our presence, because they see the authentic measures from the kingdom. You know, we just left from Atlanta this past weekend at the Men of Vision Power Life Atlanta Business Awards and conference. And prior to that, Terrell was at the Black Belt Speaker Conference in Chicago.
Bloomington, Illinois.
Yep, Bloomington, Illinois. And he received a very prestigious award, as well as myself, this past weekend. I am a testimony award Men of Vision with Dr. Edward Womack and all the rest of the brothers in the organization. And the reason why I'm saying this is because if you look at the resume of the world, how can you even begin to understand drug dealers, ex-felons, street enforcers, gang bangers, puppets of the devil, to now receiving awards that most people have not even received yet, who's been doing this particular purpose for so long? And it's not knocking nobody, it's actually a testimony, because you don't have to be locked up and still not be imprisoned by your own spirit. So you can talk all the articulation on your deliverance that you want, but if you're not doing it for God, there's so much that's going to happen. And that's what I realized. Once you give it all to God, God will give it all to you. And I'm going to say that again. Once you give it all to God, God will give it all to you.
Amen.
Just like,
I think we're living. I don't mean to interrupt you. I think we're living in a society where a lot of young people are just imprisoned with their minds, and they seek reassurance through social media. There's not enough positive upbringing in the home. I mean, there's no mother-father structure anymore. Everything is a single parent. So you have a lot of young people that are blinded by faith. To them, if it's not in front of them, if they can't see it, they don't believe in it. It's like they rather hear something from their peers, or they rather see something that's quick, and that's their way of believing that something is obtainable. But it's like we don't have that faith with our young people. That's where we as older people come in, and we try to, like, reach out to, because I feel like a lot of these young people are going in the wrong direction. And everyone wants to follow. Everyone wants to just, you know, be their own person. But where's the faith? Where's putting God first? You know, why is it, you know, you put yourself and then you put the next man or the why is that? I mean, I've been in church, and all I see are young people playing with their cell phones, playing with their games. I mean, we grew up, we didn't have that. You know, that's why a lot of our foundation is very strong. But, you know, we're bringing in generations that are not as strong. So there's a big prison out there. And, what do you do to try to, like, work through that? Like, because they're so lost, you know, they're the next generation.
On their own.
Well, I can tell you this right here, and I'm raw with it. What do you expect for the young people to do on their phones during a sermon when you get the deacons and the other church folks on their phones as well? Lead by example. What do you do about gang banging when you got gang banging going to church? The deacons banging with the ushers banging with the pastors. What do you do?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Lead by example.
Right.
That's where everything is at. See, the thing about God never said that the people would just come to you. God said, go to the people. He told Jeremiah in the Bible, he said, go speak to the countrymen in the land of Judah. Be not afraid, I will put the works in thy mouth to speak. Have no fear, submit and surrender to me. A lot of people are not submitting to God. They submitted to themselves. And when you submit to yourself, you will fail every time. So therefore, we have to realize this. If you want to break the generational curse, if you want to break the walls down that is keeping our young people captive, then first we must break our own wall down. There's no example that can be created into the Word of God if the creed is not already built in your spiritual deliverance towards the young people. And I can speak on that firsthand with two things. Number one, I know when I was trying to get close to God numerous times when I was selling drugs and gang banging and stuff, the church people to give me no more time than they would give in a pea in the pot. Okay? Some of them, not all of them, but some of them. Number two, I was one of the biggest advocates during the Baltimore riot, during the riot and after the riot. And I spoke to young folks in most places where these so-called leaders, they never existed. Even people who actually lived in Baltimore didn't show up. I left Virginia, went up there and talked to those young folks, and they knew that I came from a background of that type of situation. And the first thing that a person told me, a young boy 12 years old, okay, he told me, we have screamed so loud, but nobody hears us. These people want to be saved. They want to change. But what do? You have to have a Gucci bag or have a nice car in order to get love from the church? No. That's why I said that the church, the real church, is not the building. The real church is the unity, like China, the relationship with God, the relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Get out of the church. Bring the choir downtown. Bring the choir to the ghetto. Bring the choir to the hood. As a matter of fact, I don't even look at the stuff being that's called ghetto of the hood. It is a place that lacks opportunity. That's what it is. And once we break out of that titling about the hood and, you know, people that's on the welfare situation, I don't believe that people are on welfare. I believe people have the lack of wisdom to know how to fulfill their full potential, their purpose. And if we keep on titling everything, then the real title, prosperity from God, will never be exposed. And me and Terrell, we're here to do that, along with Ty. Ty, you know, I mean, everybody, we all winning together. We're winning together. And I don't believe that not one person in this world cannot cross the finish line as long as we hold each other's hands and realize that the only finish line that counts is from the tribulations to the triumph. And that's where we connect that bridge at. So anybody can say, you know, I've been through this, I've been through that. We all go through something. Right. You know, it's a different channel, but it's going in the same direction. You gotta stop pitying yourself. You gotta stop blaming. You know, like Ty was talking about Black Lives Matters and all lives, White Lives Matter. Let me tell you something. All lives matters. And I'm gonna say this, and I'll let Terrell speak. But Terrell, you definitely know about this. Anybody out there who's African American, listen to me right now. Coming from another African American, listen to me right now. I'm gonna just keep it clear. Yes, police brutality is wrong. It's wrong. And racism still exists. There's no debate about that. But how can you expect justice in your own race when your own race is producing injustice themselves? What's the difference of a white cop killing a black guy with a black person kill another black person? But it's cool because they're not wearing a badge or a uniform. So
that's true.
I'm the same color. I get to go to kill my own. Okay. We talk about let's talk about the leaders real quick. And I'm not gonna call no names because I have kingdom integrity, but they know who they are. How are you gonna show up only when CNN show up? If you want to be a news reporter, get your job at the newsroom. Don't be a leader. Because I honestly believe that to be effective, I want to show up before the consequence. I want to show up and say that this young man right here used to be a gang thing, and then he picked up the price. I don't want to show up at the young man's funeral and say, well, this should have been done or that could be done. I don't need no camera from CNN. I'm going to work regardless for God. I don't care if the squirrel's looking at me. I'm going to do just that. And that's what Terrell is doing. That's what Ty is doing, Lenny D, and everybody out there, from Don to everybody. So my main thing is that I don't want to hear that crap about this life and that life matters. It all matters. There's nothing God made that is better than the next. God made us equal. So if you want to start about getting justice, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, green, purple, blue, look at the human race. Because the last time I checked, when a white man kill a black man, there are thousands of networks that shows this being the epidemic of the world. But what about when that boy got executed 9 years old, execution style, by a gang? What about Charles Wakefield when his daughter was barely one, got struck in the head with a bullet because people are fighting on two different sides of the street? What about the father who had his son at the 4th of July this year, and they were watching the firecracker, but the firecracker was so loud, he didn't hear the gunshots. When the firecracker stopped the fireworks, he looked down, and his son was hanging from his hand with a bullet in his hand. What about that? Why is nobody talking about that? So I don't want to hear anything about people talking about Black Lives Matter. Yes, Black Lives Matter. Yes, we still subject to racism, but guess what? Until we create that unity upon us, unity will not be nowhere. So let's just come together. If you're white, green, black, I'm pretty sure we all use the bathroom. If we don't eat, we get hungry. If we don't drink, we get thirsty, right? If you don't get no rest, you get tired, you get bags on your eyes. Everybody wakes up with morning breath. We're all the same. So.
Now check this out, Charles. We got about 2 minutes left. So what I want to tell everybody is I want to thank the Spiritual Mechanics for being here and for blessing everybody
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And I want everybody to tune in next week where we're going to have the Tolsons. They are a husband and wife relationship coaches, and they will be giving us some insight on how to keep a structured marriage working during, you know, working together. So we're gonna get into that next week, and don't forget, Ty,
we have also Carrie Smith as well, and she's an LGBT life coach and relationship expert. So we're gonna have her come in with a few questions for her community, and is that it? I think those are our people for next week.
We got 90 seconds, so Charles, go ahead and pray us out of here.
Absolutely.
Always close your eyes, open your spirit. Father God, thank you so much for bringing us together on this wonderful, phenomenal show, giving your word in all ways and formats to inspire the people. Your kingdom, your greatness, your prosperity, your grace is beyond average. It's the most perfect. Lord Jesus, continue to pour into our vessel, increase our wisdom so we can serve you in the most glorious way possible. For God, we know that we are not perfect, but we serve you, a perfect God. Forgive us for our sins, Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to work on our weaknesses and continue to maintain our strength. As we go into the future, Lord, we know, Lord, that we always put you first and that your grace, Lord, is 100% concrete that will never break. Lord Jesus Christ, continue to open people's hearts and minds and souls and go beyond the traditional ways of the world. Let them understand that your love always existed and it will never leave. As we go into the future, Lord, we realize that the devil will attack, but his attack is no greater than the power in which we receive victory. And as I will close out into this prayer, God, we love you. We love you. We love you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for tuning in so much.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Hey,
look,
Ty. Yeah. We're off the air now.
Okay. Okay.
So we're off the air?
Yeah, we're off the air now. Hey, man, I appreciate you guys, man. This was fun.
This was wonderful.
Of course, of course. Now, whenever we go to on our events and conferences on the tour, we'll make sure that, you know, that we mention y'all and put y'all on our promotion. Got to do it.
Definitely.
I appreciate that.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Yep.
I will come. Tag me.
Always, always. We headed to South Carolina this weekend to a big festival / conference. So
I was trying to stick that in
things.
There.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be huge. As a matter of fact, some of the people are coming. He has to do two shows. So God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. You know, we gonna build and we're gonna do what God wants to do, man. It's all, you know, we family. It's all uphill from here. Get up,
oh yeah,
God.
Definitely.
Yes. Yes.
I think Terrell dropped off.
Okay.
He dropped.
Well, y'all
off.
Did a,
yeah,
yeah.
He dropped.
Y'all
off.
Did a y'all did a great job. Y'all really did. Of course.
Oh,
thank you.
There was some minor things, but y'all didn't give up and y'all went through it. That's one thing about Radio Tide. No, I've been a radio personality for 2.5 years now, and got several
really?
Awards.
Wow.
Y'all on y'all way to get y'all about to do big things. Just whatever something happened, just go along with it. Don't make it never seem like it's scripted. That's just like what y'all did.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like the background noise. You know, I text Ty, but I didn't say can y'all hear me? No, can you not keep on talking? Because you know, there will always be some kind of static. But when you talk to that static, that
right.
shows your power in God. So y'all did also.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Heck yeah.
Yes, Ty is my brother. Ty is my brother. I love him.
He's everybody's brother. but yeah, we definitely like I said, Lady D, we connected on Facebook, so you know, anything I can do to support what you're doing, Ty already knows, you know, any friends of his or whatever, it's a friend of mine, brother, sister of Christ, and we elevate.
Likewise, thank you. You don't understand how humbly I am right now. It is a blessing. It is such a blessing, and if whatever you are, I mean, tag me. I definitely want to, you know, meet you in person and get your vibe and everything. It'll be an honor.
Same here. I got to agree to go to this meeting. Ty, this guy named Anthony Young, he's the CEO of UCC Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Stands for Urban Christian Culture. He wants to bring me on and write at least two times per month.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
They do. They're pretty big in the Christian world. He has a digital magazine where you can actually post videos on the pages. When you put the pages, you have the written column and a video. That's real genius. And he also gets the hardback. So, yeah. Yep.
Hello.
Donna Wrench.
How many people are left on the line? Can you tell?
It's
we have
us
four people.
And
you say
yeah.
you can tell that there's four people left?
Yeah,
yes.
I see you. I see Charles, Diana, and there's another. There's somebody else, a 347 number.
Yeah, that's my brother. Right. He's still on.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's our brother.
All right. Well, I'm going to get up to this quick 20-minute meeting, and then, Donald, if we have to do a meeting, hit me back in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to have to get on a conference call later.
Great job.
Thank you. Clap.
Great job.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you,
Diana. Hey, Diana, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Donna.
You were nervous there for a first minute, weren't you, Di?
I really was, because it's, oh, my God, it's like, it's, oh, yes, I was. I really was. It's been such a long time. So, you know, once I get back into the groove of things, I'll be more like, oh, okay, this is nothing.
All right. Okay. All right, y'all. I'm out. Peace. Talk to y'all later.
All right. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right.
Bye.
Peace.
Bye.